Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. Today we're celebrating the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. What a beautiful story of the conversion of much of Mexico at a time, 500 years ago or so, when the gospel was not being effectively preached. And the Lord's plan is so beautiful in the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. He established a beachhead in what became North America for the spread of the gospel. Not the only place, but really the fundamental place. And you see so profoundly the mission of Our Lady, the special mission of Mary, the Mother of God. And there's so much gold today to be harvested from the readings that the church gives us, but just reflecting on the story of Juan Diego, this poor peasant who Mary appeared to. And there's much to the story of Mary's life itself that the Lord the Father wants us to take in and help us understand his heart toward each one of us and how God works. God works very differently than we do in the world. God chooses and he gathers people that the world might not gather or find impressive. God finds people impressive that the world doesn't even recognize. Jesus would say at one point, the last are going to be first and the first should be last. In this world, the first are always the powerful, the rich, the famous, the aggressive, you name it, are always pushing themselves forward. And the whole consumerist culture is built around idols and icons and, all the beautiful people and all the beautiful this, that, and the other thing. And we miss the people that God has his eye on. And we have to be careful as Christians. This is a place where we have to exercise a renewed mind. God's ways are not our ways. God thinks differently than we do. And that means as a Christian, we're meant to come into his way of thinking, his way of seeing, most importantly, his way of showing us what's actually truly valuable and what pleases God and what impresses the Lord. Things like humility, things like love and patience and kindness. And the kind of humility that recognizes that God is God and that we're his creatures and he's made us his children, a fallen people. He's made us his children and we're dependent on him. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's a beautiful thing. It's not, dehumanizing. It's not humiliating. But this is what one of the reasons the world rejects God is because of the pride that's in the human heart. We want to be radically autonomous and assert our power and do things on our own strength and not rely on anybody. I'm a self-made man and this, that, and the other thing. But what we see in the story, first of Our Lady, we're given to us in the gospel today, is the story of the Annunciation. I just want to read it to you today and think about who Mary is and what's unfolding. We're in this season of Advent and we're trying to be awake to the Lord, to be alert, to listen, to begin again, to tell the story. And now in this upcoming year, in 2019, the church year begins prior to the 1st of January. It begins here in Advent, where we begin the journey again, because we live together, as I said yesterday, as a church. We live the story of God. We live the story of salvation. It's the grand narrative that gives meaning to our lives, and it gives us understanding of who we are and who God is. And it's very important for us to be able to live in it. So the church calls us to pilgrimage together as a people in this year to move through the life of Jesus. And so, of course, the Annunciation is one of the key moments. It's the incarnation, really, when the almost unbelievable, unimaginable reality happens, that God takes on human flesh and God enters his own creation. The King of Glory is coming, right? The one with all power and authority. None like him. God himself, the one through whom everything that we know and has been made through him, he enters his own creation. But he doesn't come the first time with gigantic trumpet blasts and revealing his glory in a way that would flatten everybody. We would be stunned and shocked and trembling and overwhelmed at his power. He comes humbly. And how does he decide to enter the world? Does he go to the kings and the emperors and the movers and shakers in the world? Does God need the kings of the earth, the rich, the powerful, the famous, the elite of culture? Does he need them to establish his kingdom and to build his kingdom? He doesn't need them at all. I mean, literally doesn't need them. So what does he do? He goes to someone, a young woman, very young, in her teenage years, who's humble, lives in a backwoods village, has no power, no money, no influence, no cultural, societal influence. But she's humble. She's pure. She's loving. She's been graced by God, by his choice in her own birth, in her own conception, to be protected from the stain of original sin. And her whole life was God-directed. And she lived with God. She, you know, was married. She lived in a village. She had family, extended family, clan, all the rest of it. But what was in her heart was profound love for God. And she was obedient to the law, a good Jewish girl. And God says, that's where I'm going to plant my kingdom. I can work with her. She's humble. She's loving. She's small. She's trustworthy. And so what happens? It says the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by what he said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is a really beautiful scene, a very beautiful passage. And I encourage you to find some time today. Find some quiet space. Maybe find an adoration chapel, or find a quiet corner in your room, or maybe you're living in a senior home, or wherever you are, find a quiet spot and just read through this story slowly. And imagine you're there observing what's happening and try to put yourself in Mary's place. You know, she wasn't a big, highly educated theologian. She wasn't famous and powerful. She was simple. She was humble. She was pure. She was loving. She was obedient. Jesus will say throughout the Gospels, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." That's how humility is expressed, and love toward God, and which is a deep, profound trust of who he is. And Mary trusted God, even though this really crazy, unexplainable, shocking reality of the angel Gabriel coming to her and saying to her and greeting her, "Hail, full of grace." You know, she was grace's gift, and she was given a special gift from God. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, how the Lord preserved her and made it possible for her to become the very mother of Jesus and the mother of God. She's not the mother of God in that she's the origin of God. She's the origin of the God of, she's the mother of Jesus, the God-man, and she shared her blood, her DNA, her life with Jesus. What an amazing privilege. What an amazing, is there anybody that Jesus could be closer to other than God the Father? in his unity, his divine unity with the Father. Jesus' humanity is given to him by Mary. And this is the humanity that God the Father loves and is drawn to. Humble, gentle, tender, loving, merciful, forgiving. These are the values that God honors, that he loves. Not the values of the world. Again, rich, powerful, self-important, loud, arrogant, pushy, all the things that are so prevalent in our culture today in so many ways. That social media, which could be used for so much good, and in some ways it is, also just explodes with the worst that comes from the heart of man, you know? And what's in the heart of Mary is receptivity to God, is obedience to God. May it be done unto me according to your word, Lord. I'm living for you, God. And let Mary be your teacher today. And as she draws close to you and she wants to be near you, she intercedes for you. And today we celebrate, you know, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she's still saying to Jesus, yes, yes, be it done unto me. And she came to Juan Diego, to a place where the work of evangelization was really bearing no fruit. And we know the miracle of Mary's image on the tomb, on the garment that Juan Diego was wearing, and the flowers, the whole beautiful story. I'd encourage you to go and just Google it. And it's a brief story, and you can read it and see what God did. In, was it seven years, 9 million people were converted. Mexico still carries so much of the life of the Catholic Church and so much faith. And it started there. And again, who did the Lord go to? Who did he count on? Did he go to some big, powerful king that was going to use his force, or was going to use his name, his branding, you name it, to make it all happen? No, he went to Juan Diego. He's like Mary. Humble, simple, beautiful, loving. He was scared in a different way than Mary was. He tried to avoid Mary, actually, at a certain point, but he was marked out by the Lord. And the Lord chooses what's weak in the world to shame the strong, the Bible says. To bring to nothing those who think they're something. One of the great temptations we all have, friends, and especially in the living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, we've been so blessed, but it's easy to use the blessing, the money, the influence, and the rest to elevate ourselves above others and to inflate our ego and to get us to think that we're autonomous and independent and we don't need God or we don't need anybody else. And that we slowly move to the center of everything. We're the center of all concern. We're the most important thing every day in my life is me, my desires, my feelings, my plans, my goals, you name it. And it can become so blinding that we don't see God and we don't see those who God puts in front of us each day to love. And the whole point of being here on earth is to be able to say yes to God, and to be able to answer the question when Jesus asks you the question, when you're going to meet him someday, and I'm going to meet him someday, is did you learn to love? Because that's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that lasts is love, because God is love. It was manifested in Mary and Juan Diego and God's amazing work of salvation. Friends, today let Our Lady be a strength and encouragement to you and your yes to God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.